Today on Season 3, Episode 89 of the Unknown Packers Podcast, with only 7 days to go until the new NFL league year begins, all remains quiet on the Packers front. Bryce, Ken, and I take a look at last week's media sessions with Goody and LaFleur, where they address new coaching hires, expectations, and more. In the second half, we shift our focus over to the mystery that is Jordan Love. A few fan questions and fill-in-the-blank take us home. Hang in there, Packers fans. This could be an interesting week. And now it's time for off-season press conference on tap.
This is Green Bay. Green Bay.
Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast.
Touchdown! Dagger! Al Harris, 56 yards to a game-winning touchdown! Green Bay Packers!
Go, Pack, go!
Running isn't everything, but it's the only thing.
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, yeah. Green and yellow.
Unknown Packers podcast.
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow. Green
and let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town.
Yeah, really excited about, you know, both those guys. Obviously, Mo's been here for a few years, and I've obviously been able to see him work and just kind of a consummate professional. And, you know, going to be really excited to see him put his stamp on that group and see where they can go. Didn't have a lot of familiarity with Joe Barry before, you know, we hired him. But his reputation in the league is outstanding. And then in the short time I've had a chance to be around him, you know, it's his energy and enthusiasm. And I think some of his thoughts on our squad and where he wants to take it is, you know, I'm just glad to have a chance to work with him.
And welcome to the Unknown Packers podcast. A little bit of a twist. We are going to start off. What you just heard was Brian Gutekunst's press conference this past week. And I'm back at it after a week hiatus with myself, Ken Ingles, and Neebles. And right off the bat, we're gonna talk about Brian Gutekunst and Coach LaFleur, also Joe Barry's press conference and what we all thought, salary cap, fan questions, and then a fill in the blank. But right off the bat, what are your thoughts about Brian Gutekunst's, I guess, introductory press conference as we get closer and closer to the new year?
Yeah, LaFleur and Gutekunst himself. I know that was the big thing for a while, is that these signings hires, have been known for quite some time, but we hadn't quite heard from the coaching staff themselves. And so it was refreshing to actually hear, you know, hear what they had to say, what their plans are for this team heading into the 2021 season.
To me, it just kind of, I don't know, when I hear these press conferences now, I just think it's a bunch of GM speak. I mean, I didn't think Goody's comments were overwhelmingly great. I mean, obviously, he knows Mo. He's been around for a couple of years. That was fine. And then with what's his chops with Barry, he's like, you know, I'm not too familiar with him, but he's got a great reputation around the league. Well, it sounds like GM speak to me. I mean, obviously, we talked about Barry last week and our thoughts on him, and I'm still a little bit wary. I will say, after hearing his particular press conference, Simi, I do like what he's, you know, I do like the mentality he's bringing in, not making excuses for his resume in the past.
I was kind of hoping for some more Dan Campbell. Like we're gonna eat his kneecap. We're gonna eat his elbow.
Kneecaps, yeah, for sure.
The weirdest press conference.
I mean, oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, that guy is bizarre. But yeah, just the fact that he's just, you know, I don't know him that well, and you know he has a great reputation around the league. I don't know. Like I said, it just sounds like GM speak. I don't know what kind of. I mean, he's probably a great guy. People probably like him, but again, until I see how he's going to coach the team on the field, what he's going to produce, I'm still going to be a little bit wary about it.
Yeah, and we're going to oscillate between the three press conferences with Gutekunst. I'm completely on board with you, Neebles. I thought, you know, this is his third introductory press conference to start off getting closer to the new year. And there weren't any sort of typical, we're going to leave no stone unturned. But I don't know, there were some synonymous phrases throughout his press conference. He is very diligent when he's answering. Like he's way more talkative than Thompson, and he's a little bit more, I guess, he'll have some sort of discourse with the media, but it is, everything that I heard was like, I'm not telling you what's really going on. And
Right. It wasn't a gleaming endorsement. It was almost like, well, LaFleur picked this guy, here he is, and that's it. You know what I mean? It's just kind of, I don't know.
I mean, throughout everything, like throughout his whole press conference, I just felt like every answer was like, this is rehearsed in a way where it's, he's trying to make it come off like it's not rehearsed.
Right. The only thing, like, yeah, when I was hearing Gutekunst talk from start to finish, I remember kind of leaving or clicking off of it and being like, so we really don't know anything else. Nothing really more, right? We heard the two coaches speak for themselves earlier in the day, and Goody kind of came in later to ramp up the day, and there really wasn't anything kind of new. I guess the only little nuance which perked my interest specifically with the salary cap, I believe Andy Herman asked, are you going to be able to swing for the fence, with at least one guy this year? And he's like, well, maybe, but we're not going to be able to do a lot. But if the right guy's there, then, maybe we can make it work, but we're not expecting to do a lot. So that made me perk up. Other than that, I agree. It's kind of a lot of coach speak, GM speak.
Before we transition into LaFleur and Barry a little bit, with Gutekunst, the one thing that I guess was different that I wasn't expecting, because throughout the whole press conference of Gutekunst specifically, I mean, I was entertained and I was keying in, I was paying attention, but it was very what last year's was like, and even his first year, his press conference was like. I mean, he's way more talkative and he'll address the media way more than what Ted Thompson ever did. So no complaints whatsoever. The thing that I really gravitated towards was, and I can't remember who asked, maybe it was Ryan Wood, had asked, what about this team moving forward and being one step away from the Super Bowl last year and then the season prior? And I thought Gutekunst's response was uniquely different. And it was something like what you said, Ken, where your ears perk up, where he says, oh, this team is different than last year's team. I mean, a month removed. I mean, it will be a different team, especially with free agency, especially with the salary cap, the new draft, the new draft picks, all that stuff. I don't know. I guess I just, when I heard that, I thought, huh, interesting. So the team that lost the San Francisco 49ers in 2020 is different than the team that lost to the Buccaneers in 2021. So moving into next year, if we've got a crystal ball, what sort of prediction are we looking for this team? Like, are they going to be that regression that everyone called them to be? I can't see it because I think they're structurally sound, but this whole sort of salary cap and this whole free agency and the transition of the team, that was the one thing that I felt like it wasn't a rehearsed sort of answer.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. My, if I'm going to answer, where does this team go? Like, and it's almost impossible to answer that now, but because there's so much to go between where we are now sitting in early March to when we actually start seeing real football in September. But like, I don't think you can predict another 13-3 season. That's to go back to back 13-3 is crazy. If they three-peat, like, what does that say about Coach LaFleur and his ability to come in as a first-time head coach and go 39-9 in your first three seasons? That would be insane. I think that they'll get to the playoffs, and I think they'll have a competitive shot. But 13-3, I don't know. Just like, I don't know where I'm, again, there's so much to go, but I can't put myself to say, they'll bring it back at the same immaculate, first seed performance.
In terms of Coach LaFleur's press conference, he's entering his third year. He seems to be in his groove. He's got his fully assembled coaching staff. The thing that I keep grappling with, and I'm sure Niebels and you as well, Ken, are on the same page, is Leonard's the one that got away. It sort of felt like they were convincing us that, like, granted, Barry has all these attributes. He's highly energetic, high character. His players are going to play for him. You learn a lot. Barry talked about, I live with my scars, that sort of thing. I still get the vibe that he wanted Jim Leonard. And not to say that you settled with Barry, but even the media, even the reporters asking the questions, the vibe I got was that they're not convinced of Barry. So they really wanted LaFleur to answer it. Same with Gutekunst. Outside of that, what I liked about LaFleur and who he hired as his coaching staff, outside of Barry, Barry's the outlier. I'm optimistic because that's who I am and there are things that intrigue me. But there's something that's just weird. I feel like Leonard was the one that slipped away and they went with Barry. But what I liked about how he filled up his bottom tier, for lack of a better term, coaches, what he really focused on was this high character, former coordinators at the college level. That's something that's really intriguing. The promotions of Jerry Gray and Adam Stenovich, who mm-hmm. I think Stenovich is going to be a future head coach. And I think that's what LaFleur is doing right now, is he's assembling these young crop of assistant coaches and these quality control coaches to then take that leap moving forward. But that was the thing that really struck me, was one, was trying to convince us that Barry was the guy. And two, the coaches that he assembled outside of Barry, not to, you know, beat on him a little bit, but I'm very intrigued with this new coaching staff because they've lost a few coaches and now they're bringing in some coaches that have coordinator experience. And I'm really excited to see those people sort of keep on growing, especially Adam Stenovich and Jerry Gray, what they got with their promotions.
And here's kind of a weird question for you. Do you think that in any way LaFleur maybe lacks a little bit of confidence in his coaching? Not that he's not good at it, and I think he knows he's good at it, but you know, he worked with Pettine last year, who was a former head coach himself, and now Barry comes in with 25 years of experience in coaching, and he was, what, the assistant head coach for the Rams last mm-hmm. year. Do you think that's part of the reasons why he brought in Barry, for that, just another, you know, like another set of really experienced eyes and hands to kind of help him grow as a coach himself?
Hmm.
I mean, you think that could have played into it?
I think Barry's 1B. I think Leonard was 1A and Barry's 1B. Let's just hope that Barry can produce. I think that they've got so much talent on that defensive side of the football. LaFleur kept on talking about communication, like need to be a good communicator. I think that's what Barry is. LaFleur is also familiar with Barry in their time in L.A. And I think LaFleur left the year prior at Washington. But I don't know. The more I read about it, especially after these press conferences, I felt like I was getting sort of spoon-fed, like, hey, Barry's our guy. Like, and the whole Fast and the Furious comment. I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I'm sort of... I wish I wouldn't have known that they offered Jim Leonard the job.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. Had we been all ignorant to the fact of the fact that he's kind of the second choice here, I think maybe your viewpoint on that hire would be a little bit different. But because we kind of know he isn't exactly what the head coach is looking for, but he's kind of the consolation prize, I think it just kind of leaves a little bit of doubt that's going to be kind of maybe lingering in our minds until... You know, we can see it proven on the field this year.
And as we get closer to wrapping up the first half of off-season press conference on tap, I want to talk about salary cap. And LaFleur talked about the salary cap in his press conference. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is a challenge. It's a challenge for all of us. I mean, there's going to be tough decisions that need to be made. And, but you got to move forward and you got to make the best decisions that you feel is right for the Green Bay Packers. And it's going to be important that we continue to develop a lot of our younger guys, because there are going to be some voids that potentially could be left there. And, the best way to alleviate those voids is to develop your younger guys.
So we've got big bad Ken Ingles, Mr. Salary Cap Guru, who week in, week out, I'm always learning little sort of tidbits of information about the other side of the football, the salary cap, where you've got people that, dare I say, believe that the salary cap is a myth. Well, they're going to have a rude awakening, because this is the year that I think... Have you been gearing up for this for quite some time, Ken, correct?
Well, I saw this coming a year in advance.
so you have.
The crunch. Yeah, and I... You know, we were doing salary cap questions during the season last year. And, you know, once they started looking like it was going to be a special season, I said, maybe we stop talking about some of these depressing salary cap issues, because this team next year might not. It's kind of killing the run that they had for the 2020 season. But, yeah, man, I saw kind of the situation well in advance. And, you know, the numbers, you can't run away from them. They're going to tell a story that whether you want to hear it or not. So, but yeah, as of right now, like where they sit today as of our recording, nothing's changed since last week when we did our episode. They're $12.5 million over the cap, and that's just to get back to zero. And if they want to have any free agents, including, you know, a Bobby Tonyan, or bringing back any of their guys, or, you know, any of these, you know, bigger names that you can read articles all over the internet, Twitter, about, you know, they need to bring in this guy or this guy or this guy, they need to go above that $12.5 million. And then there's even, you know, just the form a full squad and have a practice squad and be able to have an in-season piggy bank. Like, they need to clear $20+ million still between now and the start of the season. And, you know, when I listen to LaFleur speak, talks about tough decisions, those tough decisions aren't, we need to restructure a guy and we need to do some accounting, you know, maneuverability. Those are easy decisions. The tough decisions are when guys are not going to be employed by the Green Bay Packers this year, or, you know, going into next year for their multiple year deals. There's a lot of work to do, and we are less than 10 days away from the start of the new year. And what happens between now and then is going to be pretty rough, pretty shaky. And it'll be very curious to see what this team does to get us out of this hole.
Are you surprised, Ken, that they haven't tendered anybody like Tonyan yet? I mean, I know teams are just now starting, you're kind of starting to see news pop up that, you know, this guy's being tendered, that guy's being tendered, this guy's being signed, that guy's being signed. Are you surprised or not really surprised that we haven't heard anything about them and Tonyan yet?
Packers tend to wait to the last minute for a lot of things. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like their internal folks are very protective of information. And the longer it takes for them to announce things, they feel like it gives them some sort of competitive advantage. We've seen this for years.
Interesting.
Sure. On top of that, though, I think without knowing where the salary cap's going to be, and again, we're less than 10 days away, and we still don't know where that's going to land, it can affect whether they even want a tender a Robert Tonyan or not. And that's crazy. I know Bryce is clinching his, you know, fist right now hearing me say that.
No, but, I'm good, actually.
$3.4 million is a lot of money. And, you know, even if they clear $25 million, that's basically your move. Like, bring back Robert Tonyan. Like, that's how kind of tight things are. And so if the cap comes in at 180 or 185, that $5 million is a big difference.
Right.
And that can mean, okay, maybe we don't cut a Devin Funchess and we let him see what he can do in camp. Maybe, you know, they're thinking about Dean Lowry, but maybe we can afford to keep him around one more season. You know, those type of things. So I think they're waiting on some of these decisions. I'm more surprised on, like, the really simple ones, like the exclusive right guys, like Lazard. Right. Like, there's no way that Lazard isn't coming back. But, and they've got four total exclusive rights guys, which are not even really decisions. They can only negotiate with the Packers. They're just going to give them the minimum contract, and they're all under $1 million. They'll all be back, at least for training camp. But what they do with Rodgers, what they do with the Smith brothers, what they do with Adams, do they do anything with Amos, Billy Turner, Mason Crosby is kind of a dark horse. Maybe he's kicked his last football for the Packers. Who knows? There's a lot that can happen between now and the start of the season on the 17th. And for the past 12 days, Packers have been pretty quiet from the news front.
Well, we're approaching our 4-year anniversary. Our anniversary episode will be the following week when we kick off the new season of the 2021-2022 NFL and Green Bay Packers. As we wrap up the first half of offseason press conference on tap, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Do a little quick pivot. Talk about some Jordan Love. What's Love got to do with it? Some fan questions that are wrapped up with Jordan Love and fill in the blank. Be right back right after this. Go Pack, go.
This episode is brought to you by Sonic Transformation. Check us out at www.sonictransformation.com. Sonic Transformation, your sound refined.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's very important for Jordan to get as many live reps. And that's not just him, but all young players, specifically quarterbacks. I think as we move, if that does transpire, where we get to the three preseason games, prior to last year, I probably would have told you that wasn't going to concern me as much. But after going through a season without preseason games, I realize how valuable and how important that they are. I do think with joint practices and some of the things that we've done in the past, there's going to be some opportunity to kind of allow a lot of those preseason reps to go maybe to your younger, more inexperienced players, which I think is going to be not only important from an evaluation, but also a growth and development as we move forward. So with Jordan specifically, yeah, I think it was disappointing we weren't able to get him out there in the preseason this year. Looking forward to it this year. And the more the better. Guys get better through plan. You know, practice is always important, but the live game reps for all players is something you can't replace.
So as we come back with the second half, we've got that clip with Brian Gutekunst in his press conference talking about Jordan Love, and we've got two questions that are also tied into our second half topic, which is Jordan Love. What are your thoughts on what Brian Gutekunst? I've got something that I think I've shared in other episodes before, but I'm really curious what your thoughts were right after what you just heard.
Well, me personally, I think it's more GM speak. Obviously, yeah, it's definitely important for all players to get those preseason reps. But it's not like he didn't get any sort of reps whatsoever. I mean, he did split reps with Boyle during training camp, and he was not impressive. Again, you know, he's young, he's learning, and yes, the preseason would have helped, but I don't think he necessarily did anything that I've heard of that, you know, that they said he was not impressive during training camp. Hopefully preseason goes off without a hitch this time around. He does get those reps. He, you know, we're looking at him being the number 2 quarterback because Boyle's not going to be back. I don't know. Can you see them drafting another guy?
Yep.
For competition? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's just one of those things that I have no idea what to think about Jordan Love at this point. Obviously, the Packers know what they're doing, I would hope. And like we mentioned before, you know, Goody has kind of tied his legacy to this pick. And as of right now, I don't hear a whole lot of confidence in what he's, you know, what he's able to do. But like I said, you know, I'll chalk it up to the lack of the preseason and the lack of reps. And hopefully this time around, he can show what we moved up to pick.
Right. Man, it's killer, right? They love this guy, no pun intended, and they trade up to get him knowing he's a project. And they, you know, kind of in the ideal situation for a project quarterback is to sit behind a player who doesn't seem to be going anywhere anytime soon with Rodgers, similar to what Rodgers had with Favre. But he didn't get to play. He didn't get any real on-field experience. Even like the rookie minicamp, even OTAs, those reps where typically veterans spend have a lot more time on the sideline, and more the younger guys are getting up to speed in those activities, are, you know, have more opportunity to kind of quote unquote run the show. And so that really hurts. You know, you hear a lot about how Love couldn't beat out Tim Boyle to be the backup quarterback. He wasn't supposed to. And
right.
And that's I don't know. That's just always the viewpoint I have. So like sometimes I hear like, oh, he couldn't beat it out. He's terrible. He's trash. And it's like, well, he wasn't supposed to beat out Tim Boyle. He was supposed to learn, especially if you can't get on the field to practice. You can't even practice. And then like, if you go in the Wayback Machine, remember Rodgers was pretty bad his first season, and he was also the number 3 quarterback. And he did get on the field. He did show in preseason games, and he looked terrible. This guy needs to practice in real football situations and not in a classroom. Like Gutekunst said, like, you get better by practicing, and I think that's what he needs. He's a project developmental quarterback. You got to give him time to develop.
The laugh that Gutekunst had, or like the scoff about no preseason games, the whole daunting year that he had to experience being the general manager of the Green Bay Packers during a COVID global pandemic sort of season. I mentioned this a little bit before, but when the Packers drafted 3 weeks, 4 weeks prior, March Madness was canceled. NBA mm-hmm. shut down probably, what, 5 weeks prior to that. Major League Baseball was having hiccups left and right and COVID outbreaks, all that sort of thing. I sort of was gravitating to the fact that Gutekunst and Coach LaFleur were preparing that there wasn't going to be an NFL season.
Right, I remember that.
And you saw with college football, some teams played a bunch, some teams didn't play any. Some college players opted in, some opted out. How that's going to impact the combine and the NFL draft and the development of these players. So when you think about that and that whole sort of puzzle, I personally don't think that his legacy is tied to Love. I think that they can swing and strike out and miss on this, given the circumstances of COVID and the global pandemic, no preseason, a lost year of development, and he can sort of right his wrongs from his other stellar draft picks and his free agent acquisition and his roster building and his coaching hire, all those sorts of things. I think we're sort of fixating on that. If Love busts, Gutekunst is done. I'm sort of starting to think that, like, it was a very shrewd move on Gutekunst's part, given the fact that there was no light at the end of the tunnel with the pandemic. They were in the midst of it. Like, you had no idea. And anyone that says, oh, there was going to be an NFL season. Yeah, the NFL pushed to make sure that they weren't going to lose any more money than they had already lost. So they were going all in no matter what. And you saw that towards the end. People were starting to test positive more and more. So there's, I don't know. I'm really intrigued about Jordan Love and his development. I will never understand, and Ken, you've mentioned this ad nauseum too, why anyone would ever root against a player on your favorite team.
Right,
this whole talk about, I don't know, people wanting to see him fail. Like, if you even go on and type his name in the search engine, what'll pop up is saying that he's already a bust and all this sort of thing. I'm really intrigued to see what happens in this, I don't know, his red shirt year. But if you guys have anything more to add to my comments, we've got two fan questions that are specifically talking about Jordan Love.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump in really quick with that last piece that you talked about with fans, you know, rooting against Love or we need to trade him. It's like he's like this threat to Aaron Rodgers. But again, I'm personally a fan of the Green Bay Packers, and I'm going to root for all the players that are on that team. Yes, I love Aaron Rodgers. Yes, I love a lot of the players on this team and will root for them. But if I'll never understand, like, the fact that Love exists on this roster and could potentially dethrone Rodgers in the future is such a hard thing to accept that you just want him gone at all costs. Like, just trade him for a 7th round pick I saw the other day. It's just like, it hurts my brain. But I heard today on the radio, a really interesting take. And this is from Rami Makhlouf, who's on in Milwaukee on the Fan here sports radio show, said, if you're a Packers fan, not an Aaron Rodgers fan, but if you're a Packers fan, the best possible thing that you should be rooting for is for Jordan Love to take over, because that means that he is so good that the Packers are willing to move on from an MVP quarterback, you know, 1 or 2 years removed from that MVP season, because they see such a future with this young, bright star, right? If you are a fan of the Packers, for the Packers to have to give up Aaron Rodgers, that means that Jordan Love is, that they think that he's the next guy. He's the next stud quarterback of this league. So I heard that one. I really want to make sure I was able to repeat that, because I thought that was such an interesting take on the situation.
I love it. And I know I saw a retweet to your tweet out about for the fan questions about Jordan Love. And someone mentioned, like, why are you guys even talking about, I'm paraphrasing, but talking about Jordan Love. Why not? There's so much intrigue and mystery, especially given last year. He was inactive all 18 games. I mean, I'm outside of, I would say, the H-back position, I think Jordan Love is the most intriguing player for me this offseason. I would love to see what happens, especially with this whole sort of what you saw in Aaron Rodgers and his resurgence under Coach LaFleur. Now, just imagine Love getting that same sort of attention from Coach LaFleur and Getsy and Hackett. So I'm excited, but we've got two fan questions, and And one, let's just get this out of the way. I selected this because I get a kick out of it. At A Roundtree 27, I think he's got like Ryan Fitzpatrick as his profile pick. When would you move on to Love?
I'll let you take this one first, Nables.
You may let me take it.
Yeah,
first.
Yeah. I want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, jeez. Talk about putting me on the spot. When would I move on to Jordan Love? Well, you know what? I'm not going to go out and say we're going to move on to Jordan Love in 2022, or we're going to move on to Jordan Love in 2023. I'm not going to pass any sort of judgment or make any sort of predictions until I see him on the field. He needs to make it through this training camp. He needs to make it through the preseason. And again, it's just all going to depend on how he plays. Is this the guy? Do the Packers draft the guy that they thought he was? You know, Sal, you can get into the whole, when would it make sense to move on to him, you know, salary cap wise, so on and so forth. You know, it, there's too many variables right now to make that sort of prediction. I mean, he could come out, he could be lights out, he could dethrone Rodgers and take over next season. Rodgers could come in, he could, you know, there's no guarantee he's going to play at his MVP stat, you know, at the MVP level again next season. Something could happen to him and Love could be forced to come in. I'm going to take the easy chicken way out and say I have no prediction on when he's going to play, but I'm also not in the camp of we need to get rid of him because Rodgers is playing at the level that he is. I think, you know, the comment you made earlier from the guy on the radio makes perfect sense. Yeah, if Love can come in and dethrone Rodgers next year, the year after, great. You know, that's why they draft him. That's awesome, you know, to have that quarterback that can play at a level, you know, higher than Aaron Rodgers, fantastic. But until that happens, I am not going to give you a solid prediction.
I love it. Oh, were you going to jump in, Bryce?
No. If you're eager.
Oh, no, not eager. man, like, this is tough. But again, I might give you a little bit of a cop-out answer too, but it's like, if and when he's ready, that if might never come. Like, he might be bad. He might be really bad. He might be really good, but we don't know. Like you said, we haven't seen him on the field at all. So the fan base only really has to go off of articles written from a handful of reporters who are allowed to be able to see him in training camp this year.
And who's usually when the second team is playing, they can't, it's closed in the media. So not many people have actually really seen
him. Right. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff they can't even talk about because, you know, they might, even if there's parts that they can see, they're not allowed to even report on it or make, you know, tweets or anything from it. Financially, it makes sense after this season, assuming they don't do a crazy restructure or, you know, put a bunch of guarantees into Rodgers' deal or extend him this season. The 2022 season was what I predicted on draft night. That or the 2023 season would be the most likely sense if he's ready. The one thing I keep going back to is, you know, Andrew Brandt, who was, you know, he was the VP of the Green Bay Packers for a better part of a decade, managing the salary cap and contract negotiations. And he's been pretty steadfast saying when the Packers drafted Jordan Love, they had a plan, and that plan involved him being the new quarterback of this team. The fact that Aaron Rodgers won the MVP did not change their plan. And, you know, he said that today again, you know, in these interviews that he's all over the radio right now. And, you know, I'm kind of in that same boat. Again, if he's good, if he proves that he can play, I see it early as next year. If not, probably 2023. And Rodgers doesn't see the end of his contract and play to 40 like he's, you know, said he's wanted to with the Green Bay Packers, unfortunately.
I don't know. I don't think anyone was expecting Rodgers to come out and win an MVP and arguably put up his best statistical season playing for the Green Bay Packers. I think he surprised a lot of people. You noticed that there was something different about him. And he was very open and vocal about being shocked that the Packers not only drafted Jordan Love, but they traded up to select him in the first round. I think I was in that school of thought that Gutekunst was tied to Love, that his legacy. I've moved on from that. I think that there's just, when you look at the whole picture, I think we tend to gravitate towards maybe these shortcomings. This would be a big shortcoming because One, they're expecting his development as a quarterback. Two, they traded up draft capital and selected him in the first round. But I think Gutekunst has shown that he's done a lot of other really great things if Love were not to succeed. But the whole pandemic sort of season, I think, throws everything through a curveball. I don't think that they were sort of expecting one. If we were going to have a season, I think they were expecting that maybe he would get to play a little bit. But mm-hmm. For me, I'm focusing on this year. And this year, Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback. I'm expecting Jordan Love to be the number two. And I'd like to see some really exciting things in the preseason from Jordan Love. But I'm not betting on Aaron Rodgers. And if Aaron Rodgers goes out and wins another MVP and, dare I say, they win the Super Bowl, like, I don't know. I think that there's right. more than, yeah, you can have a plan, but things change, don't they? Right. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I said this to someone in conversation. It's like, well, he won the MVP, right? You know, don't the Packers owe him? I'm like, he's got 3 years left. I don't think the Packers thought he had us in him, honestly. And I think that's why Jordan Love exists on this roster in the first place. I bet you the Packers are more or less thinking, do it again.
It's a good problem to have.
Then we'll talk, you know? But yeah, again, and that goes back to, like, why do we hate the fact that Jordan Love is on this team, right? It's a good problem to have. Well, you have the super talented, you know, potential developmental quarterback who could one day be really good. That's not a problem.
A great Rodgers.
Most teams would kill for that situation. Look at the Steelers and what they're bringing back, like a ghost of Ben Roethlisberger to play quarterback this year. And he's just a phantom of what he used to be. So I'm not going to hate on the fact that we have, you know, this potential logjam at the QB spot.
I'm glad that you mentioned that because right before the logjam, you had talked about how, I don't know if the Packers had it. They thought that Rodgers had it in him. I hate to say this, but he wasn't great during Coach LaFleur's first year in 2019. He struggled. And then something clicked this year. He did some research. Mm-hmm. He was realizing that he needed more leg strength. And he was sort of overcompensating because he had a bunch of different injuries. And then he also, you know, found nirvana and found samsara. And he was just totally in this flow state.
Yeah, man.
I'm not going to doubt him again, but I guarantee, I wasn't expecting this. I guarantee the Packers were not, which is such a great point. That's why they drafted Love. To think, okay, maybe we can get by, and then Rodgers defied the odds. And I'm all for this to continue this. I would love to see a little horse race between both of them if you start to see Love develop a little bit more. This is a perfect segue into our next question. I thought this was a damn interesting question, and it definitely, my eyes widened when I saw this. This is from @Sam_Davel, D-A-V-E-L. Who is in a better position to succeed, Love when he was drafted or Aaron Rodgers when he was drafted? Neebles, we're putting you on the spot again.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Jeez Louise.
I'll jump in if you want to. Just get you a reprieve. I'm probably thinking about this a different way, but I'm going to say Rodgers. And if for no other reason, it's going to be social media. was not as big of a thing back then. Yes, it was a thing, but it's not to the point where it is now. And I don't know. I just, there's both positive and negatives to both situation. Yeah, Rodgers was supposed to be the first overall and slipped and dropped. And he had that, you know, famous green room footage of him. But did that put a chip on his shoulder? But then Favre really didn't want to talk to him or, you know, was vocal about, it's not my job to develop Aaron Rodgers. It's not my contract. And then Love, you know, he's in the impossible position of being immediately supposed to be, oh, well, it went Favre Rodgers. Now I have to, everyone's kind of expecting, well, if he's not a back-to-back-to-back Hall of Famer, then he's going to fail. You know, that pick's a failure because that's kind of what a spoils Packer fans have been able to witness for the past 30-plus years of quarterback play. But yeah, I my initial thought when I'm reading it, I think Rodgers, just from the fan expectation part. But I don't know. I could really see either way. I'm curious to hear what you two guys have to say.
Yeah, that's a real tough one. I mean, again, kind of I can go either way. You look back when Rodgers took over for Favre. You're right, there was no social media, but the Favre people were just absolute fanatics. I mean, they were
insane.
They
became Viking fans. I'll never forget.
It's like,
yeah,
they hate, right, they became, but they, as soon as that pick was made, they hated Rodgers no matter what. You know, he could have been, you know, he could have been Bart Starr reincarnated, but they would still hate him because he was taking over for Favre. And then I don't think people, at least, I don't, do you think people are, I don't want to use the word rabid, but do you think they're that rabid about Rodgers currently,
sure,
as they were Favre? You think so?
Favre was a whole nother, they were
a cult following for crying.
There were husbands that were like, hey, I'd let Favre do, you know, there were just some,
hey, family show.
I think Favre laid the foundation of fanaticism. And I think what you're seeing that carry over into Rodgers. I think what I appreciate more is the groundedness of Rodgers compared to Favre.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I can't see him do something despite the organization. Like, I just can't. Whereas with Favre, the minute that all the texting with Daryl Bevel and all that stuff, I was like, okay, like, all right, I'm a Packers fan. I don't know if that answered your question, though.
No, yeah, no, that's fine. It almost seems like Rodgers is kind of thriving with this pressure now that that Love is, you know, the drafting of Love is presented. When you go back and look at Favre, when Rodgers was drafted, I mean, Rodgers was drafted at pretty much the same point in Favre's career as Love was in Rodgers' career. But it's like Love was drafted and then, you know, Rodgers comes back with this MVP season. I think when Rodgers was drafted, Favre was eight years removed from his last MVP season. So I don't think I'm struggling to find my words here. I mean, I think Favre's skills were starting to diminish, maybe making it, and he was, you know, talking about retiring. And I think it was almost an easier decision for the Packers to move on from Favre. And in this case, with Rodgers, you know, going to Love, like you said, he's coming off the MVP. There's going to be a little bit more question marks as to, you know, did we take a quarterback a year too early? And I think there's going to be probably more pressure on Love than there was Rodgers. I think Rodgers' situation was a little bit better because, again, you had Favre waffling about retirement. His skills were starting to wane. He was 8 years off of his last MVP. So, I don't know. They're very similar but different situations. So I'm going to go with, I think there's more pressure going to be put on Love when he takes over, but I think Rodgers came into an overall better situation.
Hmm. Fascinating. Hmm. I love this question.
Yeah.
Unless, Ken, did you want to?
No. Well, I guess the only thing I was going to say that I remembered is that, you know, because of the Favre retiring, it allowed Rodgers to actually play those first team snaps in the preseason. That's a note that I forgot to write down, but I thought of when I saw this question is that he got to run the offense basically in the offseason. That was his time to shine. Like, his Super Bowl was, you know, the third preseason game. And, you know, unfortunately, Love still hasn't gotten to play a meaningful snap under the lights yet. So
I think in better position to succeed, I think I would go with Love. And the reason being is that in 2005, the Packers ended up, I think they were 4-12. They fired Mike Sherman following that year. They brought in Mike McCarthy. So a lot of transition with that. Also, Favre and Rodgers, that turmoil where Favre was very vocal saying, I don't need to coach him. I don't need to mentor him. Whereas Rodgers called up Love and sort of actually embraced taking him under his wing. That speaks to the character of Rodgers, that he can see past that, his own ego, knowing that this guy could, you know, take the keys to the Ferrari after me. I just think it speaks volumes about his character. So for me, I think Love got into a better situation because Rodgers is a different person than Favre, too. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you also have Coach LaFleur, who has been known to groom quarterbacks. You saw it with Matt Ryan in his MVP season when LaFleur was the offensive or the quarterback's coach. And then you're seeing it with Aaron Rodgers now in his resurgence. That's a lot of that is LaFleur influence. So I'm going to go with Love. Just I think the structure of the Green Bay Packers organization, who they have there, I think that he fell into a better situation. However, globally, I think it was the worst situation because he did not get any sort of playing time. But I think in specifics, when he landed in Green Bay, I'm going to go with Love rather than Rodgers.
Hmm. Okay.
And we're at that point, gentlemen. Unless you all want to bash my...
No. I can't hate on it. That's a tough question. I saw that question. I'm like, man, I'm really curious about how we're going to go with that. And I think we all kind of split the fence there a little bit. That just tells you what a unique situation this is.
It was a great question, and I love those kind of questions. And we got so many fan questions. So I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. And I hope you got to enjoy last week's episode with Neebles and Ken. And looking forward to our 4-year anniversary episode next week. But as we wrap up off-season press conference on tap, got a fill-in-the-blank question for you. Y'all ready for it?
Oh, boy.
Let's go.
All right. This is in light of Bill Huber's article from last week. So when I was supposed to record with you, this was supposed to be the fill-in-the-blank. But for the 2021-2022 season, the Packers need to blank. And I'll give you a little bit of a background with Bill Huber's article talking about how Gutekunst doesn't have much time. The window's sort of closing a little bit. He would say you do whatever it takes to bring a championship this season.
Oh, man.
So do you prescribe to that notion, or do the Packers go on another route this year?
I do not subscribe to going all in. I think I've been pretty vocal about that on my Twitter rantings, but going all in to me means you don't have a chance for like the next 2-3 years. Like that means push out as much money as you possibly can, sign whoever you can, and then literally 2022, 2023, you as fans pretty much are going to be accepting the fact that this team's going to be terrible. I don't like that type of football. I don't want to see that type of football. I like to root for teams that have a chance and are winning. But also, too, it's like even if the Packers did that and they went all in, and then next year fans are still going to be like, why can't we sign anybody? Like, because it's such a hard concept to like fully wrap your head around, like the effect of that. On top of that, next season already, the Packers have the most cap space dedicated to players. And they only have 26 players under contract. If I tweak, you know, or if I crunch the numbers as I always do, I have them at $20-something million over the cap next year already before going all in. And so they're going to be right back where they were this year, next year again. And that's like the starting point before they start playing any of these cap games. So I think they need to do as much as they can to be competitive this year and give them a shot, but all in this crazy down cap year where we're going to have not only this year but the following 2 years be depressed with the salary cap, going all in just doesn't seem like a good idea to me.
I agree with that. I think the Packers just need to kind of stay the course for the next couple of seasons. I mean, I'm also in the camp of going all in. There's no guarantees,
right?
Like everybody's saying, you know, JJ Watt was gonna be that piece that would get him to the Super Bowl. You know, he's going to give up, you know, he'd give up millions and millions of dollars to come play for the Packers to win a Super Bowl. Well, you know, there's no guarantee that's ever going to happen. I kind of, you know, roll the punches, be in a good salary cap situation, and you develop that young talent. I mean, that's what the draft is for. And with the league, I mean, we're not the only team in this situation. I mean, lots of them are going to have a salary cap trouble because of the pandemic and whatnot. So I don't think there is that one or two pieces out there that are just going to automatically make you a Super Bowl winner. I think the Packers are going to remain competitive doing what they do. Again, I like the draft and development. I mean, they have a very good, solid core nucleus of players, and they can add those missing pieces through the draft if they need to. They don't need to go out and sign some, you know, high-priced name that everybody wants them to sign. I just think if they just continue to do what they do, anybody could win the Super Bowl. I mean, the days of the Patriots dynasty, I would say, is essentially over. I don't think we're going to see anything like that again for a very long time. So it's anybody's ball game. Anybody can win it in any given year. And again, I don't think they need to go out and put their future in further risk trying to win it now when that's absolutely not a guarantee. I think it was back in the day of Ask Vic. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that guy.
He's still around. Oh, yeah. He's still around.
He has his own little blog, doesn't he? But wasn't he the one that he also followed the Jaguars and would always talk about how they went all in the mid-90s, didn't win a thing, and it literally ruined the franchise for at least a decade. It took them forever to come out of that. And ever since I would read him talking about that, I mean, he kind of like drilled that into my brain. And ever since that, I'm like, it's just not worth it. You know, if for some reason, if there was some way you can guaranteed win a Super Bowl by signing, you know, guy X, great. But it's just, there's just too much parity in this league. It's not going to happen. And like I said, I would just rather them stay the course, be a little bit more conservative, if you will, and rely on the draft to develop and see what happens.
I think you guys both, like, I'll take components of both of your answers for sure. Like Gutekunst said, this Packers team is a really, really good football team. And I think we take that for granted, not us, but I think that there are people that take that for granted, that they want more. You buy that new car scent wears out, you want a new car. And I think like that's just sort of the human condition, and we apply it to the Green Bay Packers. And I think that I've definitely taken a step back, and I've just appreciated the fact that, I mean, this team was in dire straits not too long ago. Mark Murphy came in, hired Brian Gutekunst, retained Russ Ball, brought in Coach LaFleur, and what we're seeing now, back-to-back 13-3 seasons, back-to-back NFC Championship games. I know we want that Super Bowl, but I'm thrilled that year in, year out, we're going to have competitive football with Gutekunst, Murphy, and Coach LaFleur. So I just, the whole all-in, say, God forbid, one of our stars gets hurt, then what? So then we have that on top of the football is just a finicky game. And who would have thought that Tampa Bay was going to go on and win the Super Bowl? They were not that good to start off the season, and then they got hot. So it's the teams that get hot at the end of the season that end up hoisting the trophy. But I'm taking components of both of yours. I'm not going all in. I like to draft and develop. And Coach LaFleur said it in his press conference. We'll do full circle. He says, now with the salary cap issues, it's more imperative that we have to develop our young players. So that's something that I'm really intrigued about, and why not root for that?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Hell yeah.
Well, I think that was a great off-season episode once again. I wasn't expecting to talk about Jordan Love, but I've been just seeing it pop up and wanted to get both of your guys' takes. And obviously, we had the press conferences the following week, but thank you guys for manning the ship last week. Excellent episode, and I look forward to celebrating you all with you all for the 4-year anniversary. Any last words before we bid adieu until the next week?
That's going to be an interesting offseason. I'm curious to see if they're going to extend the start of the season beyond the 17th, and it's just going to be an interesting next, 10 days to watch.
Yep.
Yeah. 10 days plus then going into the draft. It's going to be wild. Like, it's nonstop over here. I'm excited for it, man.
It's going to be fun. We're just getting started here with the Unknown Packers podcast. Thanks for tuning in and week out. I'm Bryce Christensen.
I'm Niebles.
And I'm Ken Ingles.
And this is the Unknown Packers podcast.
Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Unknown Packers, as well as Facebook, Instagram, the Unknown Packers podcast. You can check us out on our website, theunknownpackers.com, and a variety of different podcast platforms as well. You can also say, hey, Alexa, play the Unknown Packers podcast. That's right. We're friends with Alexa. Go Pack, go.
This podcast was edited and produced by Sonic Transformation. Sonic Transformation. Your sound refined.
Follow the unknown.
I'm Bryce Christensen.
I'm Niebles.
And I'm Ken Ingles.
And this is the Unknown Packers.